Good evening, everyone. This is John Adolfi, and welcome to another one of our monthly events. Today is August 18th. It's Tuesday at 7 p.m., and we're going to get started here. Tonight's topic is how to fix a flip. Now, this is not necessarily for just investors. This is for the homeowner that's getting their property ready for sale. It's also for the individual who owns the property who wants to know a little bit about the fundamentals of fixing up a house. So we're going to go through all the different areas of a house or different parts of the house, and we're going to start with foundation. Let's start with foundation. There's more than three, but I'm going to deal with three different types of foundations. There's the block wall that became popular right around World War II, right around that time. World War II still being used today. There's the block wall, cinder block wall. Then there's the stone wall, rock wall that we see from the older properties. And then there's one that you hardly ever see that I grew up in Buffalo with, and I have just a like to it because of that sentimentality, but it's the poured concrete walls. Yeah. Bart's over here saying, and those are the best. I think they are too. And I've heard good things about poured concrete walls. They're more expensive to do. And if you don't see them during the 1960s on mid-range houses, you see them in your more well-off or more well-to-do homes where they choose to do that. Now, we've got some other exotic things where they've got concrete and foam and stuff and prefab walls and everything that go in. But those are your three type. And let me throw in a slab. A lot of the property in Bridgeport and Val Park, also in, what am I saying, right just below Baldwinsville there, that development. It's not coming to me, but they've got ranches with slabs, and slabs are nothing more than, I'm guessing, 12 inches of concrete. And you'll see that more in other states, like down in Florida, you don't see basements, you know. Here you do. Some people prefer a slab because there's no icky basement, no, you know, mold, no, you know, whatever. So they like that. But so those are the three types of foundation. Now, let me tell you about the things that you got to look for. Typically, when you see a stone, older stone wall, you just walk through and, you know, they're usually dank. You know, they're usually a little bit damper, usually. And what you're going to want to look for those is just the rocks falling in, you know. You don't have to worry about cracks, because there are no cracks typically in a stone foundation. It's just, it's caving in, and that happens rarely. But I've seen a couple of times where that's been. The poured concrete walls, I've never seen a poured concrete wall defective. So I can't even, you know, comment on it. But with the block walls, how many of you ever seen a defective block wall basement? Have you? You know what the most common type of defect on a block wall is? Is it starting to tip in or crack about three scores or three blocks down from where the wood of your house begins? Okay? And what's happening typically is that there's hydrostatic pressure, meaning that there's water coming down off the gutter, due to a lack of gutters, off the roof, down straight into the basement through the ground, and then it freezes, heaves, and pushes forward. And it starts to crack. And it happens usually on ranches, typically. Colonials or Cape Cods. Yeah, but the ranches seem to be the most. And my guess is because of the way the roof is configured on a ranch is my guess. I've never been asked this question before. But here's the fix. Here's the fix and here's the prevention. Number one, seamless gutters. And yes, go with a seamless gutter. Don't buy the $20 cheap junk at Walmart, or not Walmart, but at Home Depot. Don't bother with those. It's a waste of time, a waste of energy. A good, let's say a 1,300 square foot ranch where you've got two gutters, one each end of, you know, each side of the house, it's about $500, give or take, to have them come and install it with the correct downspouts. Downspouts are 3 to 6 feet, typically 6 feet out. And here's what you want to do as far as the level or grade of the ground coming to where it meets where the blocks are, where the foundation is. If the grade is tipped towards the house, The water can then go towards the black wall and then down and then heave. So what you want to do is you want to, for a couple $100 and maybe some strong backs, you know, for 20, 30, 40, 50 bucks or whatever, hire somebody to come and just shovel the dirt with the wheelbarrow, bring it and put it 3 to 6 inches up, and then taper it 1 inch for every foot. So if it's 3 inches up, you want to taper it 3 feet from the house. 6 inches up, 6 feet. Okay? And then just let it settle. And that is going to help keep water away from your house. And your basement will be fine. Now, if you do have a small crack and you're getting ready to sell your house, and you've gone to the steps of remediating it, meaning that you've put some dirt down, you've put up the seamless gutter, so therefore, the issue that's taking place has stopped, then if it's a small little crack, this is what I do. And I do everything above board, but I go ahead and caulk the crack and then paint over it. There's no need to exaggerate the issue to get people freaked out. You're not hiding anything. When you do this, some people technically say, John, you are. But what are you going to do? You're cosmetically, okay, enhancing it, but you're stopping the problem, and it hasn't gone too far, is what I'm saying. If there's a half an inch crack there, or if they're tipping in to where you put something flat against the wall and it's wobbling back and forth over the peak of where that crack is or that pushing in, then you got another. That's another issue. But I'm talking about maybe an eighth of an inch crack that goes along the cement, and you've taken care of the problem. I have no problem doing that. And the reason is because it's taken care of. If the customer comes in and sees a small little itty-bitty crack, they're going to immediately think what? Foundation needs to be replaced. And it doesn't. It doesn't. So, beware though of vertical cracks. Beware of cracks on the sides of the house. There's still a water issue, and you've got to figure out where it's coming from. It typically doesn't happen there. But I've seen them pressed in. There's a house here in Phoenix on 38 Cherry Street. I'm sorry. 99 Cherry Street. $38,000 on the market. They've got cracks big cracks on all four walls. Bad, 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 bad. So it could be a few $100 to $25,000 to fix a foundation. You know what really gets me about foundations, though? It's concrete and dirt and gravel. You know, the material isn't very expensive. You're paying for the know-how, and you're paying for the brute force, the equipment, if necessary, in order to do it. That's my only guess. And I think sometimes an overinflated estimate. That's my thought on it. You just got to be careful. And I'll tell you what, have anybody ever watched To Catch a Contractor? Have you ever seen that show? Where they put they go after the contractor that did these people wrong. These guys do some really dirty things. Just have to be careful. Let's talk about the roof. We've got three basic materials that are used for roofs. You've got metal, asphalt, and rubber. And asphalt are your shingles typically, and the rubber roof. I have a rubber roof on our building here. We have about 24. I'm going to give you some prices, okay? We have 2,400 square feet. All right. Let's see. It's 12 by 60. Let's see, 60. Yeah. So it's about 1,200 square feet up there. It's a two-story, so that's why it's 20. So we got 1,200 square feet up there, and it's $10,000 to replace the roof. Okay. But the rubber roofs are great. You know, people get kind of scared off on rubber roofs. I think they're wonderful. I've gone up there, I've repaired it myself. And if you want to do any repairs it yourself, it's very simple. Just watch a YouTube video. Go to Erie Materials on Factory Ave in Mattydale. They are the most awesomest place to get these kind of materials. You get some rubber rolled roofing scraps. You get your tar. And you get your caulk, your black tar caulk. And you're good to go. And you go up there, and if you see any holes or any seams that need to be taken care of, you just go ahead and take that cement, put it in there, caulk it. If it doesn't need any cement to be, you know, put back together, or if you need to add a strip of rubber to take care of something that's beyond help, then you just go ahead and You just kind of clean it. You go ahead and put the cement on it, put it down, let it dry, which is immediately, and then go ahead and caulk around the edges with your black caulk. Boom, you're done. I can do it, and I'm not even that good. I'm a monkey boy when it comes to, you know, my father-in-law says, monkey boy, take down wall. You know, that's the kind of thing that I like to do. And then my father-in-law, who has the actual knowledge, goes in there and does it, you know. I'm not going to say too much about metal roofs. You know, you can put metal roofs right over an asphalt roof if you want to. They put strips, 1x2s, I believe it is, strips down, and then they attach it to that. The problem is weight. If you've got 2-3 layers of asphalt shingles and then you put a metal roof over it, I'm not too much as big a fan of that, you know? So that's about all I'm going to say. And I know that metal roofs have been more expensive in the past. I'm not sure where they land now as far as compared to, you know, asphalt roofs. But I guess they're, you know, somewhere in the ballpark. I know that the great thing about them is that, you know, there's really no maintenance, and they last for a good long time. And you can get them in all sorts of flavors and colors. Word to the wise, though. If you do have a metal roof put on, make sure it's somebody who knows what they're doing in this respect, the finishing of it. I've seen people just throw on a metal roof, and it really looks, it doesn't look right. There are finishing pieces that go around and make your, I don't want to say curves, but, you know, when it's boxed around, things look right. And don't settle for just two, you know, big, huge, you know, multi-sheets on both sides, and then that's it, they're done. Complete it. It's like building a house and not putting any trim in your interior. That's the equivalent when you have somebody who doesn't do that or doesn't know well enough to do that. As far as shingles are concerned, I'll say this. You can put up to two layers. Now, my understanding is when you put the second layer on, it does decrease the life expectancy by 20%, I've heard, 10-20%. Roofs are anywhere between, I don't know, if they even have 20-year roofs, 15-year roofs, but I know it's 20, 25. And then when you get up to the 30, 35, 40, 50-year roofs, it's more of the warranty than it is the materials. But there are thicker, better materials that you can use that really do cost like maybe 1/4 more. But it's worth it especially if it's your own home and you don't want to do this for a long time. So, and I'll say another thing too. Have you ever heard of water and ice? It's after you strip the roof, you put this down, and it's got an adhesive backing to it, and it's in 3-foot strips, a roll of it, and you put it down typically 3, and sometimes people put 6 feet up in order to prevent the backup of water and ice. And you know what? When the conditions are just right in the central New York area, where it freezes and it rains, or it snows and it freezes and everything, and next thing you know, you got this big, huge glob of ice up there, and it starts to sneak in underneath your brand new roof and starts to get into your ceiling. And you know, what I did was I told him, I said, no, don't do 6 feet up. Do it all the way up to the peak. And so he put this, and it's just a little bit more money, but it's better to do that. Cost of roofs are anywhere between $4,000 to $15,000 is what my experience has been. $4,000 to $15,000, depending on the roof size. And again, get multiple offers. Find somebody you can trust. This is one of those high ticket items that people can get ripped off with. Yeah. 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 Have you done that? Have you done that before on a project?
We had family members put on the roof and did an excellent job, but when it comes to different things, not really good at it. It's just calling and asking questions, and you want 3 or 4 different offers.
Yeah.
You want to look at their insurance, you want to look at a lot of stuff. I mean, it's your homework. It's your homework.
Exactly.
So it takes you a long time to find that one person.
And you know, a referral is one of the better ways of getting a good roofer, is my guess. That's with anything. David, did you have a question?
Yeah, I was just saying, what would you equate that to, cost per square foot?
I don't know. I don't know the cost of per square foot. I don't know that. Yeah, I know that. And I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. Okay, and a roof lasts 20, 30 years, maybe more. And if you do have two roofs on it, strip it, please. Again, the weight. And also, if you put three roofs on, a home inspector is going to be all over it, and it's just not going to fare well on a home inspection. Just not at all. Okay, exterior. Now, whether you're going to be reselling or just trying to make your home look better, first impressions are what? Are everything, and they're lasting. What does that mean, they're lasting? I was showing a property just this weekend on Sunday. Do you know where Oneida Drive is in Cicero? Brewerton area? Anyway, it was down by the water. And it was a three-family. It was down a dead-end road. And I was looking, and I had a few minutes to wait, which is really a mistake, because now I get the chance to really look at it. And I'm critiquing it. And I'm looking it over saying, okay, what would you do? And it just looked campy. And they were camps, but they added on. It was a three-family, and it just looked kind of run down. It didn't look good. The rest of the street looked okay. Just didn't look good. And I'm saying, what would you do in order to enhance it? And I just want to encourage you, implore you, actually, when you get ready to sell a house, spend more time on the outside critiquing it. And I mean really get brutal about it. Walk away and then look at it as if you're there for the first time. Or have somebody that is going to look at it objectively, or maybe for the first time for you. And if you get ready to sell and you want me to come out and do it, I will. And I'll give you a list of things I would suggest that you do. Because here's the thing. Somebody's going to pull up in the car and they're going to look and they're going to go, Now, let's say you have a look on the outside, but you just got done doing the kitchens and bathrooms and putting brand new paint and carpet in the house, and it's on the inside. Do you want the to have to be challenged by the on the inside when the person's walking through the threshold? No, you don't. I would rather have you kind of have an on the inside than to have an on the outside. It's that critical. And even though you may not get it, it took me a while to get that. Really get it. Not so... Go ahead, David.
They won't even go in.
Did you hear David said? Sometimes they won't even go in. They'll just drive by and they'll just keep going. I'll never forget this one girl who was one of our investors here. She had a four-family house on the south side. And she moved into it. She was a professional. And there was a lot of riffraff, and she got everybody out. And she fixed up the place and had good people come in. But then she was running into a problem. She had one apartment she couldn't get rented to the right people, that people that she would want to live with, you know? So she couldn't understand it. Finally, she did the old step back and went, I don't think my outside looks as good as I think it does. She went and spent $8,000 landscaping, put a brand new driveway in, and got it rented just like that. She did that for a rental because she was looking to get a certain type of client or experience, customer experience for them, and trying to get a certain type of clientele in the process. So you give them a good experience, and they will come. Outside, what does that mean? Let me give you some tips. You ready? Is the driveway sealed? Only costs a couple $100 to have somebody spray it. Is the driveway sealed? 100 to 200, I think it is, for an average size. And I know somebody who's good at it, in case you want. I'll give you his number right now. His name is Eric Chamberlain. And those of you who are listening to this right now, Eric is fantastic. His number is 569. Uh-oh. Where did they go? 1214. 569-1214, Eric Chamberlain. He also has a degree in architectural design for landscaping. So if you want to do something higher end, you want him. He's also very responsive. He'll call you back. He's a smart guy, and he's honest. What's that? Yeah, paving is going to cost you $3,000 to $5,000 for a driveway. No, he doesn't do paving. But if you want to, and my favorite driveway is a concrete driveway. I had it in Buffalo when I was a kid. When we had the concrete walls, I was talking about. We had concrete driveways. I love concrete driveways. They're just clean. They're just nice, But and I don't know what the price point of these are. I'm assuming it's a little bit more than asphalt, Okay, dressing up the house. Here's what you do. Replace any exterior lighting, light posts that are, paint them or replace it if it's replaceable. The light that's on your house, if it looks junky, it's old, if it just needs cleaning, clean it. Does your doorbell work? If your doorbell doesn't work, they're going to start thinking psychologically, if not in the front of their mind, in the back of their mind, what else doesn't work? Is it broken? Is the door missing a storm door? Is the storm door ratty? Is the screen ripped? Is the door got a fresh coat of paint on it? Does it look good when you walk up to it? How's the mailbox look? Do you have a welcome mat on the outside? A new one, not one from 1983. And do you have potted plants on each side of your concrete steps, let's just say? Those are all not tricks. They're just the fundamentals of presentation. Presentation's everything. Any art dealer will tell you, when you have a piece of art that's worth X amount of dollars, you don't want to spare any expense in the formatting and framing of that piece of art. No way. They know better than anyone else about this. And I learned that from someone who does that for a living. Here's one that you won't get. Most houses have a $7 to $10 quick set, lock set knob on their, doorknob on their door. Go buy yourself a $20 or $25 doorknob, and here's the reason why. Number one, it looks nicer. Number two, when you grab a hold of that and turn it or close it, it gives you a feeling of what? Security. And if a woman is going to have that in her hand at any point during the whole customer experience, and she turns it for any reason or closes it, there'll be something right there in the back of her mind, if not in the front, about it. And it just looks nicer. It's worth it. Let's see. Storm door, doorbell, lock set. Okay. Marigolds, mulch, and mums. The three M's. They're inexpensive. They look nice. You don't even have to know anything about landscaping to do that. Hardy mums, marigolds, and mulch. Seal coat the driveway. Okay. Now, let's go to kitchens and baths. To gut or to not gut? That is the question. What do you do? And you've probably seen on some of my videos, I will make a judgment call a lot of times, whether it's a clean touch-up, paint, minor things that can make major look, major improvement to it, or do we need to finally say, no, enough is enough. We need to just gut this bad boy and redo it from scratch, which can be expensive. And if you don't know how to rip out the sheetrock and the tub and then put a new tub in and set it in there correctly and screw it and get it done and put the sheetrock in and make sure you use the right sheetrock and everything, that can be very intimidating. You have to do some plumbing. So what's the cost to do a bathroom? Just a basic bathroom. $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000? I'm talking more expensive than just a new cabinet. And I'll tell you what, a new cabinet and sink and the shutoffs, if the shutoffs are good, I mean, I can do this, and I'm not good at this stuff. I can go in and I can take a bathroom vanity out and put a new one in. I can do that all by myself because it's not very complicated. The only plumbing is you just got to screw things on. That's all with a wrench. And I can even replace the shutoffs too. Shut the water off, take the valves off, put new ones on, put some Teflon tape on, make sure it doesn't leak. Then go ahead and put your feed hoses, into your new sink and your new faucet. You've got your new oak cabinet that you assembled, okay, because it usually comes in a flat box and you assemble it. And you put it in there and you put drop a new sink in, and da-da. It may take several hours for me to do it, but I can do that. And it looks wonderful. But it's amazing what you can do with paint. We'll get to the paint in just a second. Make sure, to gut or to not gut. I'll give you an example of one that we did gut. My father-in-law is the one who has the skill to do this. So it's sweat equity that we put into it, okay? My mother-in-law is a kitchen aficionado. She just lives and breathes to design kitchens. She does it as a hobby, you know. So we had a property in Minetto, and we bought it for $40,000, and we put $40,000 into it, and we decided, what are we going to do about the kitchen? We did it. We went ahead and put upper grade cabinetry in, the drawers that pull out for your pots and pans. I can't remember, but it was all hot, a little bit higher end. The house was on the market for $125,000. We sold it for $115,000, and we made $30,000, something like that, on it, you know, after all is said and done. But we were kind of wondering, what do? We do this or we don't? And we did. We even put new black appliances in there and everything, you know, side by side. And by the way, when you're measuring everything out for your appliances, just a word to the wise, with the first refrigerator, the side-by-side refrigerator, it stuck out 4 inches further than we needed it to. We miscalculated. And what I found out was, for like $1 million more, you can get one that's, it's not that much, but it was a lot. It was quite a bit more. You can get one that doesn't stick out so far. So they do have these, just to let you know, for refrigerators that don't stick out so far. Order the first one the right first time, and you'll. And plus, you can count the cost too. So, kitchen. Let's talk about the kitchen. It's amazing what you can do with paint, cleaning, new light fixtures, okay, new countertops, new drop-in sink, faucet, and floor covering, and cabinet knobs, new cabinet knobs, and clean everything. Yes, David?
Sometimes you can frame it if you're in that situation. Just framed into the wall.
Framed into the wall?
Yeah, it's a new
thing. Okay.
Yeah. So to accommodate the extra stuff.
Right. Yeah, this was one where we... Right. Yeah, and dishwasher, do you add a dishwasher? Try to. It's one of those amenities. And can I talk about an amenity that nobody talks about anymore? Remember the trash compactors? From the 70s? 1977, 78, the trash compactors? Well, let me tell you something. In some of your higher-end homes, I've noticed they've made a comeback. And I just sold a house here outside of Phoenix. And I said, Paul, I said, you got to tell me. I asked his wife, actually, do you like it? Love it. I go, really? Love it, John. Any smell? No, not really. Not really at all. And she says, at the end of the week, we just pull out a small, like, 1 by 1.5 by 2 foot, whatever, compact trash bag for all of our trash through the whole week. I'm going, wow. And they're about, I don't know, 15, 16, 17 inches wide. Just, I don't know if you guys are middle class, but I believe us middle class people should have those. And I'm going to fight for the rights of us middle class to have trash compactors from this point forward. I don't know how much they are, but I'm sure they're not that terrible. And by the way, I was in a house and I saw an 18-inch wide dishwasher. I just want to let you know they exist. And they had a limited space, and they had an 18-inch wide dishwasher. It was the coolest little thing I'd ever seen. So, to gut or not to gut? That's the question. If you do gut, understand that cabinets are going to run. Well, you know, most people, when you're talking about maybe a middle-class home, you know, the oak cabinets, you know, the kind of middle-of-the-road oak cabinets, that's what you usually see when people put them in there. And the cabinets are, I don't know, a couple of $1,000s, but then you've got the installation issue, you know. Maybe you can talk to Home Depot. Maybe they'll come in and install them for an extra charge. I don't know to what extent they do or don't do things. So that can be tricky. And bathroom and kitchen upgrades can cost anywhere between $500 to $15,000. I know you can spend more. But I'm just saying, $500 to $15,000. Interior walls and trim. Paint. Do you know what the ratio of a dollar spent on paint is in return? It's 5 to 1. 5 to 1. And let me just tell you another thing. I had some people remodeling my apartment upstairs. And I didn't have control over the paint, meaning that I just let them do their thing. He was doing me a favor, actually, paying me back for something I did for him in real estate. And he wanted to go up there and work for free. And he's a general contractor, and he does good work. But when it came to the paint, he was trying to save me money. So he went, unbeknownst to me, and he bought paint, 5 gallons, okay? Nothing wrong with buying 5 gallons, but it was cheap paint. And I'm telling you, it wasn't worth it. He put 2 coats on there, and it still doesn't seem to really be nice and thick, really dense. Word to the wise, I don't go to Sherwin-Williams, but if you do, go there. I go to Purcell's. And the reason why you want to go to a paint store for paint, why do you think that is? The advice that you're going to get is phenomenal. I have learned so much from those guys and gals there. I also, what I'll do, I'm doing my kitchen and living room right now. I take a video of everything. And Donna, by the way, at Purcell's, she's awesome. And I don't think she'll ever hear this, but I make Donna videos. I'll go through my house and I'll say, okay, Donna, here's what the living room looks like. This is the color that we have over here that you picked out before. Now, when we go into our kitchen, do we extend this since it's all an open floor plan, or do we have some differentiation in the color? So I'll bring that to Donna and I'll show it to her. She always gets a kick out of it, especially when I say her name in the video. And then she says, continue on. Don't change it up. And it's looking great. I'm still working on it, but it's looking fantastic. So go somewhere. Plus, they have the best paint in the world. Will you pay more than Walmart? Yes, you will. But is it worth it? Yes, it is. It really is. Now, I haven't used this, but I just want to let you know, they do have flat paint that is washable. I've never used it, but it does exist. Okay? You want to use flat white paint for your ceiling. I've never been one to take a lighter color of your walls and paint the ceiling with that. So if you've got like a light brown on your wall, you have even a lighter brown on your ceiling. I've never gone for that myself personally. Some people will just use, like if you're doing apartments, what they'll do is they'll do like an eggshell, really light, like antique white, and they'll do the entire apartment, ceiling and walls. And it's so light that you can get away with it. And it's very fast, especially if you're spraying it. Even if you're not spraying it, it's fast to do that because you don't have to cut in. You see how I had to cut in here and do that? So right now, for those of you who are listening, I'm pointing to my ceiling and my walls, which the walls are like a light yellowish, and the ceiling is white. And it takes more time to do that. If you can't cut in with your own hand because you're not steady, tape. The blue tape, I use it all the time. I'm doing that at home right now. And a guy who's a professional told me, he says, listen, when you cut in, go in with confidence and do it quickly. And I went, no, I'll let you do that with confidence. My blue tape is where my confidence lies, you know. So I'll do that. I'll tape everything off with the blue tape. And I paint. And the colors, what colors do you want to use? Ah! It drives me crazy when somebody's getting their house ready for sale, and I'll tell them white, off-white, antique white, eggshell, go. John, you should see this really nice blue we put in the kitchen. Oh, you spent all that time and you put blue in the kitchen? No! No. No. And even if you're just living in a house and you want something that looks kind of nice, fresh, like cheery, are you having a down day? Well, listen, I'll tell you something. When you have a house that's got nice, bright, white or off-white walls, it's just really, here's the reason why you want to do that, regardless if you live there or not. I mean, obviously, you can do whatever color you want, but when you're getting ready for resale, don't deviate from this, please. Those dark colors that everybody's been doing, their accent walls or their entire room, these dark colors, I don't know, I hope they're on their way out, because for a while there, it was kind of novel, it was kind of cool, I guess, but I never really bought into it, hook, line, and sinker. Although it did look nice, I'm just not a big, huge fan of it. What happens when a room is painted white is it appears larger. It reflects the light that does come in from either the window or from your light source. It reflects it. It appears brighter, cheerier, bigger, clean. Oh, yeah. That's what sells. It's like detailing your car, but detailing your house. your trim, baseboard, and around windows and around the doors. If you're going to do antique white on your walls, then do white on your trim. Semi-gloss. And your bathroom, you can do eggshell in your bathroom. If it's maybe one of those bathrooms where you feel that semi-gloss would be a better choice, you can do semi-gloss in the bathroom. But I think most people don't really do semi-gloss. I think they do eggshell or a satin. So, caulk. What does caulk cost a tube? $1.50? I don't think that price has ever changed since 1973. I really think it's always been $1.50 always. Anyways, caulk is the most... It's like the... How do I say this? It's like... It's what turns a nice job into an excellent job. Here's what I mean by that. All those cracks, all those spaces in between where the joints of your molding or the joint or the molding itself as it's laying up against the wall and you have an uneven wall or it just wasn't installed perfectly, when you caulk all those seams, all those areas where you need to go through, well, we'll talk about it in a second. It makes a good paint job look great. And it's cheap. It's the cheapest, most bang for your buck thing that you could do to anything in your house. It puts the finishing touch on it and makes it look great. I've been in houses to where these investors come in and they spray the whole thing white, everything. They spray the ceiling, the walls, and the trim all white. They throw down some lower grade carpeting and they say, ta-da! And I go through and I see all these gaps, windows, doors. I'm talking about the trim, just any. And it wouldn't take long. It would take a few hours to do it and it would look even better. Caulk. Everything you can. Caulk it all. It's the most awesome tool. It's your best friend. Okay, let's talk about floor covering. Wall-to-wall carpeting, just remember this. Medium-grade carpeting, high-end foam pad or pad. Medium-grade carpeting, as thick or as expensive, not expensive, but as thick as you can get for a pad. What that does is it makes the carpet wear longer, number one. Number two, it gives a great user experience when you're stepping on it. Has anybody ever gone to an investment house or seen where they've taken that what appears to be indoor-outdoor carpeting, maybe that really thin pile weave that's like gray, and they just kind of put it down without any pad underneath it? It's not pleasant. Now, if you do use that stuff, which is, $6 a yard, $7 a yard, whatever it is, put $5 a yard into pad underneath it. Okay? I have heard of, twice in my entire career, I've heard of high-end homes double padding. They glue them together, I guess, and they put two pads underneath the carpet. That's kind of unusual. I had an experience with Home Depot just a couple of months ago. The apartment that I was referring to earlier, it was time to put the carpeting in. I went over there. I found some medium grade carpeting. Actually, it was a little bit step above medium grade. Because I love preparing things like I was going to live in it. Some people strongly disagree with that philosophy. Just the way I do things. And I got a really great pad. It wasn't the very, very, very best. It wasn't the $7 one. It was one step down. I can't remember why I went with the less of a pad. It wasn't because of the price. There was something about it. I can't remember. So I put like the next step down, and I had them put it in. I got a card so I could get 10% off. Okay, because it was over $1,000 job, and I asked them the magical question that you can ask in any commerce situation, unless it's Walmart and you're at the checkout and you can't ask this question. Is that the best you can do? And he had watched my videos, so he knew who I was. And I don't know if that helped, but it didn't hurt. And so I asked him, "Is this the best you can do?" And he tried. He did, and they took off a couple extra $100 on it. The whole thing, I'm not sure how much square footage it was. I think it was about $450, and it cost $1,000. Okay, so it ended up being about $20 a square yard, but it's gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous. And I would do it again in a second. I was very pleased with their service. Not only did they have 6 months free, interest free on the card that I got, that I put it on, but also their workmen came over and put it in for like free or $89. I think they knocked it off. It's one of the perks they did. And they scheduled it. They came up. By the way, I had some asbestos tile up there. And what they do is they charge you a little extra money for this, and they put a strip down so that when they pound it in, the tack strip, it doesn't create any dust. Okay? A lot of your older places have asbestos tile flooring, which in my opinion is not a big deal. And it's nothing to get all that crazy or excited about, but... What's that?
OSHA.
Yeah. So I just want to let you know that there is a fix to that. But if it is yours, and you know, I'm not gonna want to put you in any kind of danger. But if I had to do it over again, I would have gone up there and I would have removed it myself. That's what I would have done. I would have. What's that?
Asbestos.
Yeah. Hey, I'm asbestos qualified in the United States Navy. Not that that means anything, but I would put a mask on, and I'd take some gloves, and I would just hit it, and I'd throw it in a bag and get rid of it. Sometimes you just got to get rid of stuff. Am I doing anything illegal? I don't know. I'm the owner, so I don't know if I'm doing anything wrong. I don't think so. No? Okay, the consensus is I'm not a criminal. But I didn't do it. I didn't do anything. They put it right over. Let's talk about other floor covering. Does anybody know from watching my videos that the floor covering that I don't like the least? Laminate. Gross. I don't like laminate floor. Here's the reason why. Number one, it looks kind of funny sometimes when you look at it closely, especially if it's... And I'm not going to take anything away from someone who spends extra money getting maybe a higher-end laminate. Maybe that's better. I don't know. But the laminate that I see is the cheap, low-end, and there's a little foam pad underneath it. And let me tell you something. If any water gets in there underneath that floor or whatever, you get a break in your underneath your sink or something, and you're away, and some water really significantly gets on the floor, and it seeps underneath there, the whole thing will buckle. It's really bad. And it feels weird when you're walking on it. That pad, that foam pad probably was there, and I don't know this for a fact, it was probably there for an effect, to kind of give a little give in the floor, I guess. I don't know, but it's cheap. It's dumb. I don't like it.
I've been using for a number of years now the Aurora, and it has, it's waterproof.
Is it? Yeah.
And it has a seal, like, overlap with a rubber blue strip.
Right, I'll get to those. The thing that I do like is the vinyl. Like we put the fake vinyl wood look. What is it?
LVT.
What is it called? LVT.
So, yeah.
Okay.
It's like a vinyl.
It's a vinyl flooring, and it just so happens the kind that we chose looked like hardwood floors. And I guess from what I heard, my father-in-law told me he was told that it's amazing stuff. We put it up there. It was not very difficult to install, and it looks fantastic. And it's not, you know, it's not hardwood floors, but it looks like it. And it it's hard to walk on. So it's, you know, it looks it's not any of that weird stuff. I don't like that. It's waterproof, right?
Yeah.
Is that, what, did you say that out? Oh, okay. Yeah.
I've never used it in a friend like that. He talked
about it. Did he?
Instead of water resistant, waterproof. He talked about it.
Waterproof.
We guarantee it for like 25 years.
Okay. Well, I'm about to put it in my house. I'm going to, like the remodeling that I'm doing, I'm going to put it in my house. I like it that much. So... What other floor covering? Oh, Berber carpeting? I don't even know if they make this stuff anymore. Do they even make it? You know, everybody loved Berber back in the 90s and stuff because it wore like iron. But it's not something you want to roll around and play with your pet on the floor, you know? And it's just not like, it's not pleasant. And I never thought shag carpeting would ever make it back. I really didn't. But they have got some really attractive shag carpeting. They kind of modernized it and made it look cool again, but not the same kind of weird... Remember the orange and yellow and the green and blue? Yeah, you know? Man. So, how about when they put him in the interior vans? Remember that? Woo!
Oh, yeah.
Have your... Yeah. Okay, so... What do I like in kitchens and baths? I like ceramic tile. My father-in-law does it. That's the reason why when we do it, he knows how to do it well, and we put ceramic tile in. Ceramic tile just has a really nice, substantial kind of upgrade feel to it. You know, you can get tiles that look like ceramic tile, and they can fool you. I walk into HUD homes, and sometimes I got to bend down and touch them and feel them to make sure that they're not ceramic tiles. And I'm sure they're probably the vinyl tile, you know, just a little bit different variation of what we were talking about just a few minutes ago. But those look good too. The vinyl tiles can look really good, but I like them for kitchens and bathrooms. I like that. Hardwood floors. I typically don't have hardwood floors installed myself personally. Just haven't done it. The only place I ever did it was here in the office because it was hardwood floors. I was trying to refinish underneath this and I couldn't. And let me just tell you something that you probably never hear. If you do buy a house and there's hardwood floors, if they're old hardwood floors, and they can be refinished, great, have them checked out. What they'll do is they'll check the thickness of the board to see if there's enough face of the board left after they go and they sand it one more time, and these didn't. So I had to, here at my office, so I had to go over it with hardwood floors, and these were put in and installed, you know, the old-fashioned way. You know what I mean? They had to whack them with a hammer and make sure they're nice and tight, and then nail them in and then refinish them. They do have pre-finish hardwood floors, and those are good. Just explore it and see for yourself if it's something you want to do. I can't comment anymore because I've never worked with it before. But pre-finished hardwood floors are another alternative. The problem with refinishing the hardwood floor, let me tell you the problem that we're having. There's some spaces in our office where it's worn now, and we need to refinish them. How are we going to do that? We have to shut down for 3 to 4 days. Even over a weekend, it's still going to be a little bit. So what we're thinking about doing is carpeting over this hardwood floors. I just want to let you know that they're great, and I think they're better than the laminate. They're better than the pre-finished because they're the real deal. That's what I like about them, and I believe that imperceptibly you know that it's the real deal. Whereas the pre-finished, they got a nice shine on them. They look good. They look very good. They're wood, you know, but they're pre-finished. There's pluses and minuses for everything. So, one other thing about hardwood floors, and then we'll move on. Hardwood floors also can have stains in them. Sometimes if you rip up the rug, or if the rug has already been ripped up and you walk into one of these rehab houses, you'll see dark stains all over the floor and white stains on hardwood floors. Typically they poured water or the dog did it or whatever. Over the course of time it accumulated. They weren't able to get to it to clean it up well enough, so just kind of sat. Will that come up? No, it typically doesn't. You can try though. And again, you can try to take that layer off and see how much of the stain will come off. But if it's too stained, don't even bother. If you really want hardwood floors, go over them with new hardwood floors. Clean your carpets. Are you getting your house ready for sale? Clean your carpets. For $50 to $60, you can rent. And I don't recommend getting one of these off of QVC and doing it. You know, the home units that they sell, the Bissell, you know, that you get for $100 to $200. I don't recommend those. The only way I'd recommend something like that is that if you wanted to have one on hand, a just-in-case thing, but I've used them before, you know, that does pull up dirt. You do see it in manifested in the container of water. But, you know, I prefer to go down to the store and rent one of those rug doctors. I just feel that they're more professional. But quite honestly, when I get done doing a rug doctor, it is no comparison when somebody comes in with a professional unit and steam cleans my carpets. There's just no comparison. I've done chemical clean, and I've done the steam clean. And I'm still not sure which one I like better. I've had more experience with the steam clean, so I can tell you that. That would be my first choice. I would have to do some research on the internet. I'd have to talk to a few people before I go and do chemical again, because I'm just not sure. One of the things that the chemical people I remember saying is that when you do the chemical, there's no chance of any sort of water getting into the pad and then having to dry or mold or whatever, because it's not drying fast enough, you know? So that was one of the pluses of having, not at steam clean, but having the chemical used. I don't know what the counter argument to that is. So, you know. Also, too, one other thing. When we bought our house, it already had this beautiful higher-end carpet in the basement, which is a walkout where our bedroom is, and it's concrete floor. So it's concrete floor, which is probably a good 12, 14 inches thick, pad, and then carpet. Don't ever do that. If you ever go and put a new carpet in, of course, you're going to tear out the carpet, tear out the pad. You're going to want to put, 3 mil, 5 mil plastic down first to create a vapor barrier. I don't care how long or how dry you think your concrete pad is, before you put anything that absorbs water in your basement, well, again, I have a walkout basement, put down plastic before you put down your carpeting. Okay? No, I've never heard anybody talk about it before, and I just stumbled on it one day, that idea. Because, you know, you bend down and smell, it just doesn't smell right. Not really. So, also, higher-end carpet. Can I just put a plug in for carpeting that's $35 a square yard, $40, $45 a square yard? I've seen two people in my life put that in their house. And I'll tell you, my mother-in-law and father-in-law did that. I don't know exactly where it was, but it was somewhere in that neighborhood. Stuff wears like iron. It looks great all the time. There's no like wear marks on it. And they've had it for at least 15 years.
Quite a while. And Dan's 12? Bloody, boots. There should be wear and tear with the...
There isn't. There isn't. So if you're thinking about doing something, and you can think of a color that isn't going to like change in 20 years, because it's going to last for a long time, it's worth the extra investment to get a higher end carpet. And they're plush, and you can roll around with your pet, and you feel better about it.
What about you mentioned about basement concrete painting the ceiling?
Yeah, I don't know about that. You know, the question is, can you seal the basement first before you put your rug down? And I don't know enough about, like those epoxy paints or something like that, that maybe seals it, you know? Maybe that's a better alternative to plastic. Plastic is going to be cheaper, of course, you know, but, you know, you could do that too. What's that?
Do both.
Or you can do both. Yeah? Yeah. Okay, so... One other thing, if you smoke, or the house that you have, somebody smoked, and if you're just going in there and doing a quick cleanup, or whatever, or you're not going to do any cleanup at all because it doesn't need it, but it's got that pet or smoker's smoke smell, you can, for about $300 to $400, hire a company like ServiceMaster, you could hire them and they will come in and they will deodorize your house the right way. Don't go out and buy $20 worth of these plug-ins or whatever, you know, or spray it with something, Febreze or whatever. It's a waste of time and money. Do it professionally. Get the smell out and get it out, you know, permanently. Okay, as long as it's not being added in. And dogs can really smell up a house. Cigarettes can smell up a house pretty bad too. Even when they smoke outside, I don't think they realize that how much it permeates, even in the inside. Some people can get away with it. Not very often, I can tell you that right now. And it does stain things if they're smoking inside. It does stain, like, you know, the walls and stuff. And, man, they used to smoke in our office for years. Could you imagine? You see my office next door? This was all blocked off right here between this side and that side. My father used to sit back here where I sit now. He used to smoke. I used to sit in the front. And we have two other realtors, and they both smoked. And I was in here in a winter with the doors closed, with a little Norelco air cleaner, like trying to do whatever it could to try to filter out the air, which it didn't. But years and years of smoking, when we were remodeling, it just coated everything. The paneling, you know, the drop ceiling metals, you know, it's all like a slight yellow. So, you know, do what you can there. Make the house smell good. Yes?
For what it's worth, we sold the house a couple years ago, and it had strong dog odor.
Dog odor in the house, yeah.
And the floors and so forth. We used that sealer.
Was it bin?
Bins, yeah.
Yeah.
It worked great.
Yeah. You know, if you have a pet smell on a floor, a porous area, you can bin it. It's like a shellac and paint.
Yeah.
And it'll seal the offensive odor in. If it can't be scrubbed, otherwise you're just going to have to cut it out with a sawzall and replace the offending whatever. A couple more things and then we're going to, we'll be done. Did you have a question? Okay. When your house is being shown, a little bit of music in the background. And I'm not talking about, you know, 93Q. I'm talking about something that's a little bit soothing, okay? All the lights on. Every single light in your house has got to be on. Curtains open. Shades, everything up. Let as much light in as possible. If you want to go the route and bake some cookies and put a little sign that says, please, after your showing, please take one. That not only would they know that it's for them, because when they put stuff out there, you don't know if it's for the family or for the realtors, you know. I grab one anyways, but I mean, no, just a couple of times. But a little sign like that would be really, really classy. And the smell of the baking that took place. Or you can just do the old, put some cinnamon on a pan and put it in the oven and bake it. And just let the smell of cinnamon permeate the... I mean, there's all these things that make a house a home feel for the user experiences they go through. What's that?
The dog food.
Yeah, exactly. Dogs should be gone. You should be gone if it's a realtor coming in to show it. If it's you showing it, let me tell you something. My dad used to do open houses, and he would never follow them around the open house. He would just let them go. And why do you think that's important?
Because if somebody was behind me, you know, it's like someone's sitting right in front of them, and I'm trying to look,
yeah.
And it's like a salesperson.
Yep.
Don't
you don't want a salesperson breathing over your shoulder.
No.
Let them go through the house. Put your valuables away, though, I'm telling you. If you're not going to be escorting somebody through, I've only had it happen once in my career. In 29 years, somebody stole something in a house. And I don't know if it was the kids. Mother said no, whatever. It was some Game Boy stuff. Yeah. So put your valuables away. But typically people don't steal stuff when they go through your house. Let them go through with minimal interaction, and then when they're done, do you have any questions? And then don't oversell your house. Just wait till the questions come in. Answer them short. Don't go, and by the way, Uncle Bill, look what he did over here. He put this nice little string thing over here and then paper mache'd this stuff, and he's going on and on and on and on and on and on. They're not interested. Don't oversell them. Watch their body language. If they're looking fidgety, they're not asking any more questions, let them go. Okay? Now, if after this presentation you have any further questions, you're welcome to call me, talk to me afterwards. If you need me for me to come out and do just an evaluation, I don't charge for that. I love doing that. Boy, do I love doing that. But you're going to get the brutal, honest truth, okay? Packaged in a nice, nice way. All right? I'll do it with a smile. I'll make sure I say it in the nicest possible way. But I will give you objective information for you to consider when you're getting your house ready for sale. And even if you sell it on your own, I will be more than happy to explain some things on how to do a for sale by owner for you. Okay? We may even have an entire class on a for sale by owner. Is that right for a realtor to do that? I think it is. Because I'd like to see you guys succeed. It doesn't matter, you know, whether I sell it or not. If you need my services, I'm right here. But if not, you can do it on your own. Sell it, have a great real estate experience. That's all the important thing is. That's the only important thing. All right? All right, we're going to go ahead and end this now for our listeners. Thank you very much for listening. And you can give us a call here at our office, 695-6434. For any questions you may have, and thanks for listening in this evening.